Our first guest on this premiere edition of Outbeat News in Depth is part of this year's Campus Pride National Voices in Action Spotlight Series. Jashauna Wally is the Program and Outreach Associate for the National Black Justice Coalition and is with us tonight to talk about her work and to share some thoughts about this year's Black History Month. Jashauna, welcome to Outbeat Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it is great to have you here with us tonight. We appreciate the time. Could you start out by talking a little bit about the National Black Justice Coalition and the kind of work you're doing?
Sure. So the National Black Justice Coalition is a nonprofit organization located here in D.C. We are actually a civil rights organization dedicated to empowering Black, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals. We advocate for policy for this community, for affirming policy for this community. But we have several programming that allows us to have a certain amount of outreach in our community and development opportunities for our community. Overall, our mission is to eradicate racism and homophobia, which is a pretty broad mission, but it allows us to move pretty fluidly as we work to make sure that the Black LGBT community is the best that it can be and has all of the opportunities afforded to it.
And I would imagine you find a lot of commonality between racism and homophobia, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely, especially when you fall at the intersection of that. So that's why NBJC works hard every day to make sure that we don't, we're not just, I guess, amplifying the fact that racism and homophobia exist, but we're creating opportunities for the Black LGBT community to be empowered in spite of, like, the systematic oppressions against it.
Right, right. Well, that's quite a mission. Tell us about when the organization came into being.
MBJC is actually in its third year. We've been around for 10 years, but it's gone through several changes. Okay. But since Sharon Letman Hicks, our current CEO and executive director, have come on, we kind of gone through this whole revamping of the organization, and she's been here for 3 years.
So how did you get involved? I mean, what inspires you to do this kind of work?
It's actually a really interesting story. So I'm a recent graduate of Spelman College, which is a historically Black college in Atlanta. I graduated in May of 2011. And when I was on Spelman's campus, I got really involved with this student LGBT group, Afrikiti. Afrikiti was a wonderful space for me to just develop into the type of leader that I wanted to be. But it's in that space where I came in contact with LGBT activism. So as I started to do a lot of organizing on campus and in the greater Atlanta area, I started to look for other resources outside of Georgia and came across HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, and NBJC. And both of the organizations actually came together and they created this program to send Black students from historically Black colleges to the White House to see President Obama during a reception that he was hosting when he proclaimed June the month of Pride. So I was actually one of the students that was selected to go to this program. And ever since then, I found myself literally in the same spaces as Sharon, our CEO and executive director. And it was almost like serendipitous. Without trying, without really looking for her or her looking for me or she looking for me, I literally was just in the same spaces. So if she was a keynote at one of the Pride events, I was actually speaking on the panel. Or when Spelman hosted our Audre Lorde Summit, you know, I was the student researcher for the summit and she was one of the panelists. Like, so she had an opportunity to really see me work. And when I graduated, she approached me and said, you know, if you're interested in working, like continuing to do this work, send me your resume. And I stayed in contact with her. And I actually came to Out on the Hill one day just to volunteer because I just wanted to be in the space, but I couldn't afford the registration. So I wanted to volunteer. And it's at that time when she approached me about a fellowship. So I actually started my fellowship last January, and it was supposed to be a 6-month fellowship. And the fellowship actually turned into a permanent staff position. So I went from a senior fellow to now the programs and outreach associate.
Sounds like a bit of destiny to me. Well, let's go back to the college experience for a bit. I mean, we've read a lot in the last couple of years about LGBT college students who've committed suicide, who've suffered from bullying and just don't find a way out. And I have to imagine that for a person of color who also identifies as LGB or T, it has to be extra difficult. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one of the things that I noticed, one, doing work on a historically Black college, and then doing a little bit of research about the Black queer students' experience on a predominantly white college, is that race and identification, whether that's sexual orientation or gender expression, definitely play a major role in that student's experience on that campus. So, for example, being on a campus at a historically Black college as a queer-identified woman, you would think that I don't have to deal with issues of race because I'm on a factor that's kind of controlled. But the fact of the matter is we all have our own understanding of what it means to be Black, whether that's taught to us, whether that's innate, whether that's cultural. Well, actually, they're culturally defined. So when you come into a space where the definition of race is kind of defined for you, and that doesn't include sexual orientation or being queer or being transgender, you experience this tension within yourself. It's like this internal dissonance. One of the things that I've noticed is that Black queer students are often faced with this dissonance within self on how can I be both Black and queer, and how can I do that in an environment where I can freely express that. So in a nutshell, race and sexuality definitely play together, but it's there. In some instances, they can play against one another. That's why I think it's very important that, you know, colleges and institutions really take account, they hold themselves accountable for the well-being of their students and creating climates on their campus where in which everyone feels safe. So having conversations about diversity and inclusion, and that has to go like past just saying we accept everyone, but what are you doing to create a space where everyone feels as if they're welcomed, you know, regardless of their race, sexual orientation, gender expression, religion, ableism, etc. Like what type of things are we doing to make sure that we are really encouraging diversity and difference? Mm-hmm. I really appreciate Campus Pride, Campus Index, because it really, when I was on campus, it was a tool that I used to measure like the inclusion and diversity efforts on my campus. So yes, we had an LGBT organization on our campus, but is that an isolated group? Or is the campus doing something to make sure that that group is infused, like the energy of that group is infused throughout the entire campus? You know, are we having separate conversations about sexuality? Or are we infusing this conversation throughout curriculum across disciplines?
Right, right.
And the same for race, you know, and especially on predominantly white campuses. Like, are we addressing racial differences, or are we having like these isolated, very nuanced, you know, secret meetings where the Black people can meet together here, Asian people can meet together here, people of color can meet together here? Like, what are we doing to bring everyone together to have a conversation about culture and race and ethnicity and nationality and sexuality in a way where it's just the norm and we're not, you know, picking at each other or perpetuating stereotypes, but we're just having a very authentic conversation with each other about different.
Right, right. Well, and I think it's those invisible differences that are the ones that are most easily forgotten. I mean, I can look out into a group and see different skin color and know that there are different races represented in that group, but sexuality and gender identity, like religion and even some disabilities, aren't necessarily always visible. And so unless you give some conscious thought to the fact that those differences are present in a room, you may leave them completely out of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we're going to continue to kind of like walk in that ignorance if we don't allow ourselves the opportunity to bring them up. And then also allow other people the opportunity to bring their self into the room.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I appreciate about queer, like progressive space, I will say, like when you go to these major conferences, is one of the, it's the norm for someone to come up and ask you your pronoun preference. Right. Mm-hmm. But if you go to, I guess, quote unquote, the real world, or, you know, walk into a classroom and part of the introduction is for you to give your pronoun preference, it's, people don't really quite understand how to answer that question or even where that question is coming from. And some people are even offended by it.
Right.
But we have to continue to like practice these, you know, best practices just so it can now become the norm.
Right. So what kind of programming does the National Black Justice Coalition provide for campuses? Are you doing anything directly on campus?
We're not doing anything on campuses, but we're doing a lot of work with campuses to provide opportunities for students to come together with other Black queer students in the nation, and then to talk about things and issues that are impacting them, and then also to share best practices when it comes to organizing and political engagement. For example, we have every year our annual Out on the Hill conference, which is usually scheduled to happen in the fall in the September month. And Out on the Hill is an opportunity for everyone, political leaders, faith leaders, student leaders, community organizers, just any constituent that identifies with our mission, to come to DC, and we have a week of seminars, workshops, receptions and events. And this particular week is purposed with political engagement and the importance of Black LGBT people understanding that in order for us to make waves, in order for us to move this movement to the next level, we have to educate ourselves on the political platform. And we also have to empower ourselves to make, you know, space for ourselves at the table. My job is to make sure that Black emerging leaders are at that table, to make sure that, you know, we understand the importance of organizing. We understand the importance of mentorship. We understand the importance of not apologizing for who we are. And we also understand that we have a voice, and it's extremely important that we utilize that voice. So Out on a Hill is one event. Another event is the White House Emerging Leaders, Black LGBT Emerging Leaders Policy Briefing. And again, that's an opportunity for us to bring Black LGBT Emerging Leaders across the nation to DC. And we actually go to the White House and they do an entire day of briefings of different policy initiatives and legislative initiatives that are going to directly or indirectly impact our community. And with that information, you can then go back to your community and decide how you want to organize around this information you have. And then finally, the last, I think, peg of my Emerging Leaders initiative that we're working on is the Emerging Leaders $10 per month campaign. And one of the reasons why I thought it was really important to have this $10 per month campaign is, one, to encourage my peer group, Black LGBT people between the ages of 18 and 35, to become fiscal agents in the community and fiscal stakeholders in the organization. I think for me, it's really important that we being the Black LGBT community and the Black LGBT movement, is a self-sustaining entity. I think it's important that if I am going to ask MBJC or any other organization or any other person to, you know, be at the forefront of this movement for me and to, you know, provide a space for me, it's really important that I support and pay back and pay that forward. So this initiative is really, the $10 campaign is really about creating Black LGBT philanthropists. It's about creating a message that it's important to support your own cause, because investing in yourself, investing in this movement, investing in this organization is really an investment in our collective power. So I'm really excited about that because a lot of my peer groups or my peers are really showing up and being supportive and saying that they can give up, you know, their Starbucks latte for that week just to support MBJC and our Emerging Leaders Initiative.
Well, fantastic. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. February is Black History Month. Tell us about some of the LGBT African Americans who've inspired you.
You know, I've been really blessed to have like direct contact with some amazing Black queer people. I really feel like my activism and my engagement and just connection with me, with myself as a Black queer woman, started in Atlanta. Atlanta has this very powerful, beautiful, like kinetic energy and community when it comes to like just even the poetry scene or, you know, this intentional community scene or the political activist scene, the social activist scene, the academic scene. Like there are a lot of powerful Black men and women there that just really will forever stay with me, that identify in all from on all gamuts of the spectrum. So I appreciate the fact that I was able to be in that space and really be nurtured in a real way. And then when I think about all the way back to high school, like I've always been surrounded by queer people and just didn't know it. Like my mentor, you know, at the time is this woman who's in her 60s, who has been with her partner for 20 or so years and is a top ranking official in the military. And I can only imagine, like DADT only just passed, you know, so I can only imagine what her experience was like. But I've never... And she's always been private, so she's never like necessarily came out and told me that she was a lesbian, but she didn't have to because she never hid her love either. So from a very young age, I was always exposed to the opportunity, I mean, to the fact that Black women can love each other and have healthy, successful relationships and still be very successful contributors to society. So when I think about like the exposure that I've had, I've always been surrounded by beautiful Black queer people who in my mind are making history as I know it, like right before my eyes. And then just like historically knowing about Audre Lorde, Toni Cade, Byron Rustin, these iconic people that have molded my thought process and provided the language of activism and community organizing. Yeah, I've had the opportunity to really be exposed to some phenomenal people, and I'm being exposed to phenomenal people every day just being in this space and the work that I'm doing.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's really important about events like Black History Month is that it really gives you a chance to take a look at some of the people who have been left out of the history books, like you mentioned Bayard Rustin. If you look back, number one, it's rare that you would probably find much about him in the history book, but also the fact that he happened to be a gay man.
Right, and I think that's unfortunate. And I think it's unfortunate that we have to wait for like a month, whether it's the month of June, which has just been proclaimed as the National Pride Month, or February, which is, you know, the quote-unquote African-American History Month. Like, we are surrounded by each other in our own histories every single day, where I think it's unfortunate that we wait to expose ourselves to what's essentially our history, because your history is just as much my history as my history is just as much yours.
Absolutely.
You know? So I think it's, and then when we get to these months, I think we pigeonhole ourselves onto how far we want to go to learn about our history. So for example, Black History Month, we learn about Malcolm X, we learn about Martin Luther King Jr., we learn about Byron Rustin, but do we learn about like Marsha P. Johnson, who was this phenomenal trans woman during the Stonewall era? You know, do we learn about Audre Lorde? Do we learn about Mandy Carter, who was the founder of the National Black Justice Coalition? Like, do we learn about my mentor, you know, who to me is phenomenal because she is this strong Black woman and is very conservative patriarchal entity like the military, who is very proud of herself as a Black woman, but also very proud of the fact that she loves another Black woman. So, well, yeah, I think when we talk about, you know, the invisibility, like you were talking about earlier, I think we, part of that invisibility too is not allowing ourselves the opportunity to constantly learn about each other, differences in the ways that we're the same.
Right, right. Let's talk about the civil rights movement that we're witnessing today with our pursuit of LGBT civil rights. Tell us about some of the things that you see that are similar going on today that also took place in the 60s around the pursuit of civil rights for people of color.
When I think about like that question as far as the civil rights movement and the LGBT movement and the parallels between the two, I mean, my first initial thought is to think, well, one, like people of color have always been queer, like queer people have always been also at the same time people of color. You know, there's always been queer people of color. There's always been queer African-American people. Therefore, even in the civil rights movement, you had queer Black people marching alongside other like heterosexual Black people for a common goal. But it's not as if when they were marching for that common goal, they were only marching their Black side, you know, like these were whole people fighting for equality as queer people. And I think people forget that when they get kind of sensitive about, you know, the LGBT movement and the civil rights movement and the semantics around that. But at the end of the day, whenever a group of people is denied any type of constitutional right, you know, for whatever reason, because of their difference, then that is a civil right that is being taken away from them. The right to be human, the right to be treated as such, is being violated. So to be denied access to healthcare is wrong, whether it's because you're a poor or because you're a trans. You know, to be denied the opportunity to marry the one you love is wrong, regardless if it's because they are the same sex or of another race. You know, and even further, like to be denied access into this country because you're either brown or because you're HIV positive goes against, to my understanding, the idea that this entire land is free and the ideals that it was developed on. So there are parallels because at the end of the day, it's about right and wrong. When you violate my right as a human being, whether it's because of my orientation or my expression or my race, then it's a violation and I have the right to speak out against that. And I think that's what both movements are about. They're about the right to overcome, I think, these systems that were put in place to keep them, to keep the access of being human and treated as such away from them.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what equality is all about. This is really a 14th Amendment issue. And the struggles are very, very similar in terms of trying to get people to understand that equal means the same. So tell us where people can go to learn more about the National Black Justice Coalition.
Well, you can visit our website, www.nbjc.org. We're also on Facebook. You can look us up at the National Black Justice Coalition. And you can follow us on Twitter at NBJC on the move. And we also have a YouTube page, so you can look us up on YouTube as well.
Great. We've been talking with Jashauna Wally from the National Black Justice Coalition. Jashauna, thanks so much for joining us tonight on Outbeat Radio.
Thank you for having me.